The first thing that strikes me is there's no better mirror on our national economy and our local economy than Baptist Health for two reasons. One, the subject is healthcare, and two, you're the third largest private employer in the state.
Correct.
Which is exceptional. What's the mood in the executive suite at Baptist Health these days?
Uncertainty. You know, there are a lot of changes going on, French, nationally, but a lot of focus on healthcare reform. And that makes it difficult for us to plan and execute because of the uncertainty. You know, will the healthcare reform law survive the challenges in the Supreme Court? If not, what comes after that? The political scene, what's going to happen there? That will definitely impact it. So we're in a period of great uncertainty, makes it difficult to plan. However, you can't just do nothing. So right. We're continuing to focus on the things that we think we need to be focusing on, regardless of what healthcare reform turns out to be, what it looks like. And you just keep doing what you've always done, and you try to position your organization so that you can be flexible with whatever's thrown at you.
Well, clearly, regardless of healthcare reform, this idea of cost reduction and somehow coming up with a more homogeneous way to treat patients with a common diagnosis is a top element. It's in the Healthcare Reform Act, but it's been something that people have talked about for a long time. Is that an area that you guys are working on now at Baptist Health?
Certainly. I would tell you that most providers first are looking at their cost structure and what they can do about that. We've been focusing on that intently for the last couple of years and are making some real progress. We're also having to try to figure out how to integrate physicians into the process, how to come up with partnerships, because we're probably going to be paid together in the future through some sort of bundled payment. So you try to figure out how you can do more of that. We also have to focus on continuing to improve quality and patient safety. That's a big piece of healthcare reform in terms of what they're going to pay for, what the federal government's going to pay for. We're looking at things like continuing to expand our primary care network. We've got to have the physicians to be able to take care of all these additional people who supposedly will be added to the health insurance rolls, meaning our business may pick up. So there are just a number of things that you have to anticipate and try to be ready for, even though you're not sure what the legislation is going to require.
Well, in Arkansas, of course, we have a huge rural area, and you solve it and address it with some 175 points of contact around the state, which is
right.
Remarkable. And yet there's some actions in Congress, I think, that are proposing to cut back some of these rural health delivery systems that actually tried a low-cost way to deliver that simple, basic primary care where we don't have density of physicians.
That's probably the worst place to cut.
And was that part of health reform, or is that an unrelated matter?
It's more related to the need for reducing the deficit.
Okay.
And the current program that the president has submitted to the Special Committee on Deficit Reduction.
Right.
There seems to be more emphasis on cutting at the rural hospital level and in the rural providers than just recent years. Because in recent years, about the only places who've gotten increased funding in healthcare have been rural areas. And now all of a sudden it seems like the emphasis has changed and the cuts are going to be in those areas as well. And that's not good for our state, and it's not good for the healthcare of our citizenry.
Right. I would say that would have major deleterious effects in the Midwest particularly. And it's only through that networking that you can actually get those productivity gains where you get a physician handoff.
Correct.
To a primary trauma-type center and main hospital in a larger metro area.
Correct. And with the financial pressures that come from those kind of cuts, I think we're going to see more and more pressure on small rural hospitals, and I think we're going to see closure of some of those hospitals. And that's going to put a lot of pressure on the people who live out in those areas, and it's going to force more people into the larger facilities like ours and other tertiary
providers.
At
huge transportation costs and
exactly.
poor handoffs. You know, there's going to be poor handoffs in the process, and there's going to be unneeded trips. Do you see that hospital groups like Baptist Health will end up absorbing those hospitals, or do you mean the facility itself will be closed and the beds taken out of the system?
There'll be some closures. Now, you're going to continue to see consolidation where it makes sense,
right.
and where it can be done appropriately and financially viably, but not all of them can be absorbed and taken care of by larger facilities. Like, I mean, there's a financial limit on how many of those you can do. We have three very good rural hospitals today, and we work really hard and struggle at times to ensure that they remain financially viable. We've had opportunities to take several more, but when you look at them, sometimes it makes it, you can't figure out a way to make it work financially.
Right.
So we'll see some closures.
Well, you mentioned the Deficit Reduction Act, and you may be a great optimist, but to find the Committee of 12 can successfully come up with a bipartisan solution by mid-November seems a bit of a stretch. So are you fearful that the across-the-board cuts will take place? Of course, Medicaid is off limits for the moment,
right.
and so it's primarily a Medicare 2% cut, which does affect all of our adult hospitals in the state. What
right.
are your views there?
Well, first of all, in healthcare, you have to be an optimist. Secondly, as we analyze it,
yeah.
I think I'd rather have the 2% across the board cuts.
And just be, because you can then manage
exactly.
that. If
you know what they're going to be,
right.
you can manage to it. Today, you know, we've already, under the healthcare reform law, hospital or providers are already scheduled for $155 billion in cuts over the 10 years. These recent recommendations that the president has made to that committee adds another $321 billion on top of the $155. I see no way that we can handle that. So a 2% cut across the board for healthcare providers would be much better than some of the recommendations we think will come out of that committee.
Have you got a plan in place if that's necessary?
We have anticipated the $155 billion cuts would mean that over a 10-year period, we'll lose $138 million. We're not sure how we could make that up. I can tell you we don't have a plan to make up the additional $321
wow.
billion that we would get our share of.
Right. Let's take a minute and talk about your views as a business person to barriers to employment. We've talked about healthcare reform is producing uncertainty, so it's real hard to judge,
right.
and then the burden of regulation. What other barriers do you see to greater employment in the country?
I think the biggest barrier is the uncertainty. You know, I would be highly reluctant today to go out and start a new service and
okay.
hire the new people to provide that service. You know, we're trying to maintain the services that we have,
right.
keep the high-quality people in the jobs that we have, but we're also looking for ways to reduce the numbers, become more efficient. We're not looking to add people or add services, go out and build a new healthcare delivery facility. Just too much uncertainty to do that. That's in our business, and that's true, I think, in every business, especially out in the private sector. If they don't feel comfortable that they can recover the cost of doing the new service or the building or adding the people, why would they do that?
And you said you were an optimist to be in healthcare, and you've got a capital campaign on your calendar for the upcoming years, $110
yes.
million.
Must be optimistic for that.
Got to be optimistic. And is that here on campus at Baptist Health, the majority of those
Yes,
funds?
Sir. Just this facility. Our hospital here is we just had our 37th birthday. It needs some updating. We've never had all private rooms. We're now the only hospital in Little Rock that doesn't have all private rooms. That puts us at a competitive disadvantage. We're working on that, and we're making progress. We have many more private rooms today than we had 3 years ago. But we can't get all private rooms without this program that we've defined as our capital campaign. As you may remember, we purchased the Southwest Hospital a few years ago. That gives us the ability to move some services from this facility out there and then renovate. But first we have to do some renovation there. Then we move everything off one level of this facility. And with that and the refurbishing of those units, we will have enough space for all private rooms here. So that's a big piece of that project. The other large piece of it is a total renovation of all of our operating suites. When we opened 37 years ago, we had state-of-the-art facilities, great operating suites, large enough we thought would last forever. Today, some of our operating rooms are small enough that we can't get all the innovative equipment that we have in the rooms and give adequate space for the surgeons to utilize the equipment. So we have some internal space to make the expansion with the renovation that we have to do, and that's a big piece of that project. It's necessary just to be able to recruit qualified surgeons that are coming out of training programs today where they've had large rooms and all the equipment, and they expect that when they come to a private hospital like ours.